Today we're talking about the five rules I live by as an INFJ. The biggest change in my life as an INFJ was about 10 years ago, and it was a shock to my system. I understood once and for all, I cannot continue on that path of self-destruction. And that's the moment when I started writing my book. That's the moment when I started this channel, because I understood if I never want to feel like this again, I have to do things I never did before. And so not only did I change my entire approach about this, but I also understood I have to share that message, because at that time, you know, the entire YouTube INFJ community was all about poor me, I am so different, I'm so misunderstood, and thankfully, I'm not the only one, which is a great first step, but it's not enough. It's not enough for you to understand, oh, there's a reason why I feel so bad. No, you as an INFJ can feel great about your life. And I not only learned that from my own experience, but I learned that with, you know, the thousands of INFJs that I've worked with during that time, the hundreds of INFJs that have gone through boot camp. And today I want to narrow it down to the five rules I live by as an INFJ that made all the difference in my life. Before we get started, I want to remind you that we launched this round of the INFJ Epic Life Bootcamp. You have time to join until February 3rd. That's when we have our first live call. We won't have any late admissions, so definitely join by then and join our amazing community of INFJs working towards the INFJ epic life. Everything you need to know, you can find in the links in the description. Rule number one, I need a purpose outside of a particular person. So this is something that sounds very vague at first glance, but if you really think about it, how often did you have a person in your life? It might have been a best friend. It might have been a relative. It might have been a romantic partner that you felt like that person is going to change your life. Being with that person is going to give your life meaning. Creating something with that person or for that person will make me feel whole. And every single time we do that, we are making compromises we shouldn't be making, because your purpose cannot be connected to one particular person. Even if it was your kid, it cannot be all about that person, because that person is out of your control. You cannot control what they're doing. You cannot control how they perceive you. You cannot control their reaction. And so you're focusing on something that is outside of your locus of control. And that is a recipe for disaster. People in general, like not just INFJs, have to learn I'm not supposed to tie my purpose, my happiness to another person, to another situation, to a project, anything like that. It has to be independent of that. But we as INFJs in particular, we have to first and foremost make sure that we're not tying it to a person, because this is our first go-to thing to do. It's an unhealthy habit, it's a toxic trait, it's something that gets us into a lot of trouble, but at the same time, it makes us feel good at first sight, right? Because if somebody needs us, if somebody could be our project, if somebody could be fixed through us, it makes us feel good. But we have to understand, this is not a recipe for success. It's something that gives us a high dopamine kick in the beginning, but it is not sustainable. So I've learned for myself, and I've never disobeyed this rule ever again, I don't tie my purpose or my happiness to another person. They can add to my happiness, but I have to create something outside of anything like that that gives me purpose and that makes me happy. A good example for this is this channel, for example. So yes, I'm doing something for INFJs, but it's not tied to a particular person. I put something out there into the universe, and yes, it can be a friendship group. Yes, it could be a project at your church. It doesn't matter, but it's something that is not tied to a particular person and where people themselves can decide, is this a purpose that I want to be involved in or not? It is independent of one particular person. Rule number two, the grass is not greener on the other side. So for INFJs, this is a very tricky one, because every single one of us has this image in our mind, oh, my life is going to be so much better if I, you know, attach myself to that person, if I move somewhere else where this person is living, or that other situation is going to make me happy. And this is something that happens very frequently for INFJs, because we imagine how great it could be in our minds. But we have to understand, this is what we're imagining. This is how we look at a situation in this perfect perfect world that is our mind. If we would actually attach ourselves to another person, if we would move, if we would get into whatever other thing that might be, that might make us feel like, oh, that's going to be so much better. That has nothing to do with my life. So I'm actually escaping my life. This just works in our mind because you cannot escape yourself. You go move to another country for another person, you'll have the same issues. That does not mean that you can't get a better job, that you can't create a better outcome for, you know, wherever you're living. None of that. But we have to understand it has to start with us. If I find my life boring, if I find my life too exhausting, I have to change the way I approach life. I cannot escape my own life. The grass isn't going to be greener on the other side because no matter where I go, it's still going to be my grass. So it has to start with me. I have to figure out what do I need to change about my life. And then I can think about who can I add to my life that will make my life more exciting, more fun, more easy, whatever it may be. But we can't go through life thinking if I can just escape my life, everything else will be better. It just doesn't work. And as painful as it might sound, it's a huge relief because then you know there is no need to look further. Whatever you want to create out of your life, it has to start with what you're experiencing right now, with your real life right at this moment. Rule number three, as an INFJ, I have to actively work towards a better life, constantly. So this is a really triggering statement, isn't it? Because what do we as INFJs want to do the most? We want to chill. We want to sit on our couch. We want to relax. We want to enjoy life. We want to experience life. We're not the people who are workaholics most of the time. We're not the people who always want to go and change our lives and do something about it because we see people around us being busy all the time and they don't seem happy at all. Like this doesn't seem like it's going to be a solution, and it's not. But what we as INFJs forget very often is that if we just stay stuck and no matter what we make up in our mind, if we're not actively doing something to make our life better, we're not doing ourselves any favors because of two reasons. First off, we're human beings. And as human beings, we need growth. So no matter how much you think like all the amazing things are happening in your mind, if you're not putting yourself in new situations, if you don't have an opportunity to grow in the real world, you don't have new input for your mind either. You can't, you know, experience and make up new visions that you could achieve. So this is something that we always long for. We need growth. That does not mean that you have to climb the corporate ladder. It just means that you have to actively aim to continuously grow in life because this is a human need. And as INFJs, self-actualization is really high up there when it comes to our needs. And if we don't engage in that, we're not utilizing our potential for happiness and fulfillment in life. The second reason why we need to actively work on improving our lives is because it shows us that we love ourselves. You know, so many times we as INFJs think, oh, I love myself. Please, you as well. Love yourself. Like, appreciate who you are and all of that. Like, we say that and we believe that, but it doesn't really match up with our actions. If we really love ourselves, we're going to make sure that our future self has a better life. We have the capacity to do that. And why are we not doing that? We're not doing that because we say it's superficial. We're not doing that because we say it's not important. And it's not really something that is of value. You know, this is not going to give me a fulfilled life. Creating a better future for yourself doesn't necessarily mean that you want to live in a bigger house or have a better car or whatever it may be. It means that you're actively working on improving your quality of life. So yeah, this might mean more free time. This might mean better life circumstances. It might be, you know, better relationships. But we have to focus on the things that are in our control. And one of those things is improving our lives. You know, that's also one of the things that is really big in bootcamp. We really look at the five pillars of an INFJ epic life and we set goals for ourselves in different areas. We define what is an INFJ epic life on our terms. This is super unique to you. if you will have a better life by being a shepherd somewhere in the mountains than doing the corporate job that's going to get you, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or millions, then this is a detour from your INFJ epic life, right? So it's about recognizing what will make you happier and actively doing something about it. Because just contemplating about things and not doing something in the real world will never ever make you feel like you're moving towards a fulfilling life. Rule number four, my romantic partner, my friends, my family, my kids, whatever it may be, they're not my project. If I have people in my life who are supposed to be on eye level, as in, you know, a romantic partner, as in a friend, then this friend has to be on eye level with me. That does not mean that you can only, you know, be friends with people who are pulling you up. It just means that you don't engage in dynamics that are based on you are a savior. You're the one who fixes problems for them. If you're putting 70% into a relationship and they can give only 30% back, then it's on us to pull back and to say, if they can put 30% into it, then I'm only going to put 30% of what I can into this. And then you create, like, you know, a 50-50 energy again. And with the additional energy, you can actually put it to good use. Because the people who are supposed to be on eye level need to be that. Otherwise, you create a codependency that doesn't make you happy, that will cause you to feel resentment. And it's just a recipe for disaster, honestly. Like, we've all experienced this. Because in those cases that I'm talking about somebody who's supposed to be on eye level with you, they have no idea that you're the one who saves them. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't be on eye level. It would be a very clear relationship of you being a mentor, of you being a coach, of you being somebody who does something for other people, and therefore they're giving something back to you. It could be respect, it could be time, it could be money, whatever it may be, but it's a very clear, defined relationship. The people that you help, they should not only be aware of the fact that you're helping them, they should also want that help. How often are we helping people that are not actively asking for it? We're doing that because we think, oh, it would just hurt their ego to admit that I'm the one saving them. In most cases, people don't know that. Yes, it might hurt their ego to admit that, and that's why they're not even aware of that. That is something that they might perceive on some level, but consciously, they don't know that. I guarantee you, most people that you feel like they should know that you're doing so much for them, they're not aware of that. They think, oh, this is a great friendship and they want to hang out with me and, you know, I get so much out of them and they're doing so much for me because apparently I'm just so fun to be around. They are not really thinking about all the sacrifices that you're doing for them because you have never mentioned it. You have never really made it obvious. If you would ask your friend, for example, or your partner, you do know that I'm the one who does most of the work in this relationship, and you either have to pull your own weight or you have to be so aware of what I'm doing into this. You have to respect me that much more in return. There has to be some equilibrium here. If you want to be a mentor, if you want to be a coach, if you want to be a savior, do it through a healthy outlet. Don't do it in your closest relationships with people who are not actively asking for it and who are not actively thanking you for it. And yes, it might mean that they won't be able to receive your help otherwise, but that does not mean that you have to give it to them. And you can still have those people in your life. I have really changed dynamics with some of my friends where it was a complete codependent relationships, you know, let's say 15 years ago. And now I have learned, no, this is what they can give me, so that's how much I'm going to invest into that friendship as well. And it's a very healthy friendship, it's a very loving friendship, but it's not a codependent relationship anymore. And it's definitely not me putting more attention and focus on them than they're putting on me. Rule number five, I go into other people's worlds for nothing more than fun, inspiration, and understanding. What we INFJs tend to do is to attach ourselves to other people's worlds because it seems like the easiest thing to do. We can relax, we can absorb so much from their energy, we dive into their worlds, we understand their insecurities, we understand their art, we understand their worldview. It seems like it's such a fun experience, but most of the time we stay stuck there. And when we do that, we are not giving ourselves the time and energy that we need to actually create more of our own world, to use our energy to put our vision into the world, to really anchor in who we truly are. Because at the end of the day, doing this is just another form of escape. It's nice to be in other people's worlds. It's nice to experience all of that. But we always have to remember, it's not our world. It's not something that's ever going to make us feel completely fulfilled, because at some point you want to grow. At some point you want to experience more of your own energy. And if you're in other people's worlds, you cannot do that, because the only way you can really dive deep into other people's worlds is by creating a void of your own energy. The less you actualize of your own energy, the easier it is for you to absorb other people's energies. As an INFJ, I can tell you it's an experience like day and night. I used to know absolutely everything about the closest people in my life, about, you know, let's say my ex-boyfriend, about my best friend in college. Like, I knew everything about their experience, their emotional states, all of that. When it comes to my best friend, for example, I am not capable of doing that anymore, because my void has been filled up with my energy to such an extent that I can't even pick up that much of an energy from her. I just can't. And before, it was really easy. It just happened naturally. And so this is something that I've learned as an INFJ, is something that is in my control. If I choose me, if I start creating my life, my own energy will become bigger and bigger, and therefore there just won't be enough space in my world, in my life, in my head to actually pick up so much from others. And it is a price to pay. Like, this is something we have to be aware of. Yes, it's much better to focus on your energy first, because you're creating like an energetic overflow. You know that you're tapping into your potential. You know that you're working towards your INFJ epic life, and nothing feels as grounded and as real and as right as this. But at the same time, you have to give up that connection. Everything that you felt as an INFJ, you get to experience that others won't. You have to give that up to some extent. Yes, you can still dive into other people's worlds. Yes, you can still experience, you know, their art and all of that. But it will just be for a brief moment, because then you go back to filling your own space up again and again. And I know from experience, not just from my own experience, but again, from working with so many INFJs throughout the last years, it is a payoff worth making. Creating your INFJ epic life, choosing you, knowing that you're tapping into your potential and that life isn't happening outside of you, but you are living your life and you're making it happen, is something that I won't give up for anything in the world. Remember, if you want to join our amazing community of INFJs working towards the INFJ epic life, then join this round of the INFJ epic life bootcamp. Our first live call will be Saturday, February 3rd. I hope to see many of you there. Everything you need to know, you can find in the links in the description. And if you want to watch another video now that is in alignment with today's topic, then check the video you see on the screen right now. I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.